Thank you for listening to this message preached at Life Changes Church in Cape Town, South Africa. Our prayer is that as you listen to this inspiring message, your life will be transformed to love Jesus more passionately and equipped to do His will more fervently.
Hi folks, it's just great to be here tonight. And this is very new to me, so I'm ready for a lot of mistakes. And thank you. Got some support there. In preparing for this, the Lord really laid something on my heart. Is that often we start off in life, and we get going in a direction. And as we go in this direction, so we often lose sight of what we really started off, what we aimed for. And as I was thinking about this and praying about it and just asking the Lord, what are you actually wanting to say here? Because we've heard so many of these things, and we start here and we end up over there. And I was really encouraged this morning by what Wally had to share with us, because he spoke about the time when he was in the army and these big warships. Thanks, Tyler. That are controlled by a whole team of people. But you can just be a little bit off track, and adjustments have to be made. You've got to be brought back into that right direction. And it's tied up with what God had been speaking to me about. So I was really, really encouraged. And I don't know if you folk had the same experience as me, but when I went to school, one of the things that I had to get over was this amazing time when we used to sit in class. I know there are some teachers amongst us today, but I used to sit in class as a little boy and be taught how to write, taught how to spell. And then what I dreaded the most was that moment when the teacher said, on Friday, we will have a test. That for me was the worst thing ever. I dreaded it. But anyway, I used to go in very courageous, and I'd sit and I'd try and answer or write these words that were taught to me the week before. Everyone else, after the test, I'd sort of check around, and their papers were sort of blue. Looked very much like what they'd written. Some of them had little decorations of red every now and again. And then mine would be handed to me. And it was like just awesome, full of red, the most glorious piece of paper that was handed out. But no ways, I was far from the mark. And, you know, that just taught me that no matter how good I was at certain things, there were some things I was no way is going to get close to it. And I tried and I tried and I tried. Unfortunately, at that point in my life, I didn't realize that God had placed people on this planet which would change my life forever. Because they were people given brains which would allow me, as I grew up, not have to worry about spelling anymore. But they were developing things which would allow me just to say, write what I want, and it'll tell me what the right spelling was. So a lot of you know what that is, and you understand exactly what I mean. And as I've gone on in life, so I've learned that we need to just be brought back now and again to that place of reference. And sometimes we think it's a hard place, sometimes it is difficult. But you know, most times it comes with our attitude, with a heart attitude. Most times we can look at it begrudgingly and say, no ways, this again, that again, I got it. But at the end of the day, it's our heart attitude which will help us in how we approach it and how we get through it. Something else that came up which was amazing in my life, and I know in most of your lives, is the SMS. We have a language of English today, and really I would love to have all my English teachers in a place like this and just to take them through, because today what we write today is it'll be great to see you tomorrow. Now, I would have failed horrifically. Gone. I failed already. Tyler just explained to me something. That's okay. Are you looking forward to it? And that's how it should have been done. Am I right? So today things have evolved. Things have gone on. And what was correct in the past, today we don't even think about anymore. However, what is at the top is actually not a reference. What's written at the top is just an easy way out. It's a convenience. And sometimes we approach life like that. There's some conveniences, some of these easy ways out that become our way of life. We just go along and we're happy to do it. And eventually it becomes the norm. It just becomes a part of what we do. How many of you have heard this or said this? Correct me if I'm wrong. When do we say that? I say that when I know I'm right. I say that when I know for sure that there's no way anyone's going to correct me. And I say, okay, you correct me if I'm wrong. This is it. Very seldom is anyone going to correct us there. Because what we're doing is we're actually putting up a front. Sounds good. And then the other lovely one is, I stand to be corrected. Those are powerful, powerful statements. Am I willing to stand to be corrected? Whether it be by man or by our Lord? Am I in that place? Or is it just a catchphrase? This is just something I would like people to hear. You know, our hearts, if we just allowed our hearts just to take over a little bit, we would probably be able to avoid a lot of the bumps on the road. Because often our hearts speak to us. The Holy Spirit prompts us. But we choose to rather just avoid. I'm not speaking about you here. I'm speaking about me. There's times in life that I would choose just to avoid it. It's more convenient this way. It's easier. People will understand better. Something that comes out of all this is when someone does come to me and say, Ron, you know, I heard you chat about this and it doesn't really sit well with me. What happens? Offense stands up. A man inside me called offense stands up and said, who are you? Who are you to tell me? Do we know? Do we understand that? But there's something enormous which is just, it melts all of this. If we just go to what Jesus said in John 3:16, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It brings me to, what is our target? What are we aiming for? Where are we going? That place can only be reached through the love of God, which he has already poured on us. The correction that we see, the corrections that that I fear, are actually God's love. He's reaching out. He's wanting to guide us. So our target, if we just go and have a look at what the target is, if we could just jump right down to the last slide there, please. Our target, we set. And some of us have our target clearly defined. And we're going true to the mark. But as we go on, we start here and we look and we have eternal life promised for us. But as we go, so we drift. There's a slight drift that happens. How many of you have sailed before? So when you sail, you get on something which is liquid. It's a boat and you're sitting on liquid. Now there's two very powerful forces that will determine where you end up when you sail. The one is the wind, and the other one is more subtle. It's current. I used to do a lot of Hobie sailing many years ago, and my brother-in-law and I had a privilege of coming here to Cape Town from Mauritius, where we practiced for months to sail in the nationals at Langebaan. And I tell you, we thought we were so good, and we were pretty good in Mauritius. We got here, and I'll never forget, the first time we went out, we were heading for the buoy. And we knew, that's cool, the wind was right, everything was set correctly, and we were going. We had probably two or three boats on the same tack as us, but most of the boats, the guys from Cape Town and this port, were heading in another direction completely. And we said, that's strange, why would they do that? We carried on, and we were getting closer to our buoy. I'll tell you, we thought we had this in the bag. Those locks, they had messed up totally. And as we got closer to the buoy, what was happening is we started doing this at a radical rate, like this. And we were aiming for there. We were truly aiming for there, and we had everything right. We knew we were going to head there. But a subtlety that we didn't even understand until much, much later was playing games with us. A strong, strong current that was sucking out. When we practiced in the morning, the tide was coming in. It had no effect on us. When we did the race, when it really mattered, the tide was heading in the other direction. And it just pushed us totally out, and we just drifted out. We didn't know it. So by the time when we were starting right in the beginning here, we looked good. But as we got further and further down, we realized we're going to miss our target. The great thing is that if we can recognize our drift and what the wind or the currents are doing to us early enough, we can do a correction. And the correction with Jesus is in love. You see, if we just look onto the love of Jesus, if we look into Him and say, Lord, I know You have a purpose. I understand, although I realize I'm not hitting my target, I know, Lord, I know that You have a purpose for me. I know, Jesus, that You love me and that I can count on Your love. And in that love, the Lord will bring us back. He'll help us get back. And lo and behold, as life takes us along, it doesn't matter who we are or what we are, it's going to happen. We're going to drift again. The beautiful part about it is that the closer we get to the target, and this I find, some people would disagree with me perhaps, but I find as we get closer to the target and our drifting gets less and the love of God is closer and closer, and eventually we end up being tired in the love of God. And before we start drifting, His love just brings us back. And that's the place we want to be. There's a lady that we all know about. She was... can I grab some of this water, please? She was at a well, and she was having some water. And she was there at midday, a time when most ladies wouldn't be going to get water. And... excuse me. Wow, thank you. And while she was there, a guy came along, a Jewish guy. And he just walked up to her and started to her and said, look, can you give me some water? She said, hold on, you asking me for water? I'm a Samaritan, you a Jew. We shouldn't be talking to each other. And they had a chat at the well, and Jesus spoke to her about some very interesting things. And one of the things that Jesus spoke to her about is truth. He asked her about her husband. She said, I don't have a husband. And then Jesus told her exactly where she was and what she was. And Jesus did that in love. Jesus was bringing her back to a target she didn't even know about yet. And what's amazing to me about this beautiful example that Jesus gave us, he had the opportunity there. Our Lord God had the opportunity there to condemn her. He had the opportunity to break her down and tell her all the things that she should have been, could have been. But no, what he chose to do is give her love. And through that, that love was extended into her, and she went and called the people from the village, hollered of her friends who probably didn't like her because they weren't there with her at the well. They let her go there all alone. But she was able to influence them because of what she'd seen and bring them to meet Jesus. And as we go along on our life, sometimes we're going to feel we failed terribly, we can't get there, we are absolutely useless to the Lord. But you know, through the love of Jesus, we are able to carry what He will instill in our hearts. It's got nothing to do with our strength, it's got nothing to do with our ability, but it has to do with God has placed in our hearts and our lives, and if we can just carry that and take that to the people who we may know or the people that we meet, whoever it may be, that's enough. That is enough. Sometimes I believe we try too hard. Sometimes we believe that we have to do so many wonderful and amazing things for God. But you know, we actually can't do anything for God. We can't do anything for Him excepting be what He's created us to be. Because we're in that place. And I'm very encouraged to know that no matter what I do, if I just keep my eyes on Jesus, even if I'm drifting, His love will bring me back. I'm excited about that. I'm excited to know that Father God, He knows me personally. He knows me who I am. He knows you who you are. He knows your exact situation. He doesn't only know what you're going through right now, but He knows what you're going to go through. And that is an encouragement to me. Because I don't know what I'm going to go through. I don't know where life's going to take me next. But I do know Jesus. And that's what I want to hang on to. And I just want to close on that. In saying that, you know, the woman at the well, she had probably not even heard of Jesus. Most of us today in the world we live in, we've heard of Jesus. Maybe we've heard of Him just because of Christmas. So through that, yes, we celebrate Jesus. But my question tonight is to maybe some folk here who have heard of Jesus but don't know Jesus. Don't know what I'm talking about tonight. Don't know this love that has been poured over us, poured over you, lavished over you, unconditionally. If there's someone like that and here this evening and would like to say, yes, I want to know this guy. I want to know the Jesus you're talking about, Ron. Who is this person? How can you be so encouraged by him? Because my life's not like that. I'd encourage you, just come after the meeting when we've finished. Come and have a chat. And then I'd like to just take that a step further because we all go through stuff. Every one of us. We go through things. We're going through stuff right now, which some of us haven't got a clue. Tomorrow we've got to go to work, or maybe we're not able to go to work. And we just say, Ron, really, I can't. I just can't. It sounds great what you're saying. But no, I can't. And what I would like to just say, folk, if you need prayer, if you'd like to maybe share something. Sometimes we go through these things alone. We say, no, I can handle this. You know, I'm the man. I will get through this. I know. Me and Jesus will make it. But you know, we're sitting in a place today that Jesus put us together for good reason. The reason is that we can share and feed off each other. That's why we are family. in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because our problems alone, yes, we'll get through them. But it could take us much, much longer than if we were just in a situation where we could share with someone. Just explain, hold on, this is what I'm going to hurt, cry with each other. These things are necessary. And I'm just putting it out there. I know it's not an easy thing. And I know that sometimes we get up after the meeting and we go home and we face our problems again. But tonight, I really just, in my heart, I sense that there's folk here tonight who are needing someone to stand by them, to just help them up, just to stand with them in this. Sometimes we can't do anything to change the circumstances or change the situation, but just knowing that there's someone there with us, locking arms in the strength and courage with Jesus Christ, that we can face that next step.
For regular updates and more information about Life Changes Church, please visit our website, www.lifechanges.org.za. The Lord bless you.